let me go ahead and introduce Dr. George Frisvold, who's at the University of Arizona, where he joined the faculty in 1997. He's also been a visiting scholar at the National Institute of Rural Development in Hyderabad, India, a lecturer at the Johns Hopkins University, and chief of the Resource and Environmental Policy Branch of USDA's Economic Research Service. His research interests include domestic and international environmental policy, as well as the causes and consequences of technological change in agriculture. In 1995-96, Dr. Frisvold served on the senior staff of the President's Council of Economic Advisors with responsibility for agricultural, natural resource, and international trade issues. He is a past co-editor of the Journal of Agriculture and Resource Economics. George, it is with great pleasure we welcome you to today's webinar. We very much look forward to your comments on the conservation title under the new Farm Bill. Please go ahead with your presentation.
Okay, well, thank you, folks. Let's get started. Okay, some major new features, just a big overview of what the new conservation title has in store. One is that the Conservation Reserve Program, the CRP, is going to be smaller. Another feature is that 23 programs get consolidated down to 13 programs. There are a lot of smaller programs that didn't necessarily go away. They just got wrapped up into larger existing programs. Another difference is that crop insurance premium subsidies are going to be tied to conservation compliance. That had been true in earlier farm bills, but not true recently, but now it's been reinstated. And there's slightly lower funding relative to the 2008 farm bill baseline. Okay, one of the things that happens is smaller programs that are similar in nature and goal to the CRP, the EQIP program, or CSP, are combined with those programs. So WIP, the Wildlife Habitat Incentive Program, got formally repealed, but the program features have been folded into EQIP, and 5% of EQIP funding has been carved out, and it's supposed to be devoted to wildlife habitat practices. So folks who had been possibly participating in WIP, even though WIP is gone, they can possibly participate in the same types of programs and practices, but now that's going to be carried out through EQIP. And there's also a set of easement programs, the Wetland Reserve Program, the Farmland Protection Program, the Grassland Reserve Program. Those have been repealed, but they've been consolidated into a single agricultural conservation easement program. The Agricultural Water Enhancement Program, the Chesapeake Bay Watershed Program, the Cooperative Partnership Initiative, and the Great Lakes Basin Program have been again consolidated into a new regional conservation partnership program. So a lot of these programs are, basically the functions of these programs continue to exist, but they've been moved into the operation of larger ones. Okay, the Conservation Reserve Program, the CRP. The CRP enrollment cap is to be reduced so that the acreage that could be in the program at a maximum is going to fall over time from its 32 million acres maximum to a maximum of 24 million acres by fiscal year 2018. Now, this has possible agricultural price implications and how this program is going to affect commodity programs relative to how the budget scoring is currently. Because under USDA's 2023 baseline, it was projected that the CRP was going to decline to 26 million acres in 2014, but then rise back slowly to 32 million acres toward the end of that period. And what that means is, compared to how probably USDA and CBO were scoring the CRP program and all their price projections, there's going to be more land in farming and cropland than both CBO and USDA were projecting earlier. So this suggests there's going to be more land in production, and that probably is going to mean that crop prices are going to be somewhat lower than those CBO and USDA projections. you can here look at this slide here. It shows what's been going on with the CRP program. While continuous signups have been going up, in general, enrollment has been going down, and you can see currently we're around 25 million acres. And the USDA baseline projections were projecting that that low number of around 25 was going to bounce back up to 32, but under the Farm Bill, it's going to move down eventually to 24, and the 24 will be the cap. So there's going to be a few million more acres that could be in crop production and fewer in the CRP. Some of the things the new CRP program does is it adds grasslands to the list of eligible CRPs. It caps grassland enrollment at 1.5 million acres between 2014 and 2018. It gives expiring CRP acres priority to enroll in the grassland contracts. And there has to be at least one grassland sign up in each year that the CRP is offered. So this is to replace the grassland reserve program and wrap it up into CRP. Contract lengths for land and hardwood trees, shelter beds, windbreaks, or wildlife corridors, they were earlier capped at 10 to 15 year contracts. Now it's possible to actually get longer term contracts. It also allows incentive payments for tree and shrub maintenance like thinning. And these cost shares can be, well, they're more than cost shares. They're payments that can be no more than 150% of the cost of practices. Conservation compliance is now going to apply to federal crop insurance subsidies. One of the other features of the Farm Bill, aside from the conservation title, is a larger movement to insurance-based programs. And insurance premium subsidies now could be lost if a producer produces a commodity in highly erodible land without an approved conservation plan to or a qualifying exemption, or you could lose your premiums if you converted a wetland to crop production. So basically, these kinds of conservation compliance measures that had applied to things like countercyclical and direct payments are now going to just shift over to insurance as well. Now, conservation compliance had existed since the 1985 Farm Bill, and it's applied to most farm program payments. Crop insurance premium subsidies were exempt since the 1996 Farm Bill, but now that's been reinstated. Now, acreage receiving payments to be used for an agricultural or conserving use and not for non-agricultural, commercial, industrial, or residential use. And to receive payments, producers have to annually report data on both their production and their acreage. A thing that might be a twist down the road is that the language says somewhat generically that producers must control noxious weeds and maintain sound agricultural practices. Now, one thing that's been a concern recently is the growth of herbicide-resistant weeds like Palmer amaranth, and so a question is open in this language: would treatment of Palmer amaranth be considered noxious weeds, for example? And would having some kind of resistance management plan along with your other conservation plan possibly be part of an approved conservation plan, or having a resistance management program, would that be part of what would constitute sound agricultural practices? I think that's up in the air. That will depend on how the details of the regs written up governing conservation compliance with insurance are dealt with in the not too distant future. Okay, the EQIP program provides cost share for different conservation practices. That's extended through 2018, and there's a requirement that 60% of payments are to be targeted for livestock production. Again, a minimum of 5% of the programs are supposed to go to programs benefiting wildlife habitat, so that's where activities that had been funded under the WIP program would be funded. It includes an air quality funding carve-out of $25 million annually, and so just through FY 2014, that's not very long. And below you can see the authorized mandatory EQIP funding. It goes up slightly in every year of the first 4 years. The Conservation Stewardship Program provides payments to producers meeting stewardship requirements on ag land and forest land. The enrollment set is set at 10 million acres, and that's down for almost 13 million acres under the previous Farm Act. Also, to meet stewardship threshold, to qualify for CSP enrollment, producers now have to address at least two resource concerns when they're signing up. The next graph shows the share of conservation program funding. One thing you'll note is that the EQIP share goes up quite a bit. And again, these bars are just shares of the total funding. Conservation stewardship funding goes up. CRP funding goes down a little bit, and the other combined easement programs go down a little bit. So there's more of a relative emphasis, especially compared to the 96-2002 levels to conservation on working lands relative to land retirement funding. Okay. Crop production on native sod. Sod saver provisions. This applies only to native sod in Minnesota, Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, and Nebraska. So for producers tilling native sod, crop insurance premium subsidies can be reduced, or your yield or revenue guarantee that's available can be limited during the first 4 years of crop production on native sod that has not been previously tilled. Also, there could be limits placed on your non-insured crop disaster insurance. And again, this applies to just those northern states above. If you look at annual spending for conservation easement programs, these are those combined grassland reserve, farmland, wetland reserve program. All those programs have been folded into one single agricultural conservation easement program. And you could see that funding for those had been increasing steadily over past farm bills, but now it's projected to drop in this next farm bill. Okay, so miscellaneous programs. There's new voluntary land purchase grant program that's authorized to receive $25 million through appropriations. And remain available until it's expended. Now, a thing about the Farm Bill is it can authorize funds, but oftentimes when it comes to appropriation, those authorized funds aren't necessarily make it through the appropriation committee, especially for these miscellaneous programs are often things that are addressing particular concerns in a particular state. Now, for example, the following one has voluntary purchases for terminal lakes. These are lakes where basically the rivers are emptying into a lake, and that's where the water is stopping. And this is a small number of lakes in the United States. This would be like the Salton Sea in California or Walker Lake in Nevada. And so these programs are kind of listed generically, but they usually are put in there with particular geographic areas specifically in mind. And so this latter one includes transfers of $100 million of CCC funds to the Bureau of Rec for water purchases. Okay, it also requires this new conservation title that Congress reports that 90 days after the enactment, it has to review the activities of CRP, EQIP, WIP, and a host of other programs to see how they're performing. If you would like more information, a good source is this publication, 2014 Farm Bill Summary and Side-by-Side by the Congressional Research Service. The Farm Bill is about 900 plus pages long. This Congressional Research Service is about a slim 470 pages long, but it does some nice side-by-side comparisons of the old provisions under different titles and what's different under the new ones. So if you're concerned about the details of specific programs, that provides a little bit more there. There's going to be more details when the actual regulations are put out governing a lot of these new programs. So if you're really concerned about individual ones, I would encourage you to you pay attention to Federal Register notices and the comment periods for how the fine language of these different regulations are going to get written up. And with that, I think I'm done.
All right, George. Thank you very much for those excellent observations on the conservation title. We've had several questions come in here, so I'll put a couple to you now, and then we'll hopefully have time for a Q&A kind of discussion at the end of this webinar. First questioner asks, with conservation compliance, is there language to allow for on-the-ground verification, or are producers still self-certifying with no travel budget allotted for the conservation staff to actually accomplish that?
I don't think that's been sorted out yet. That's one of these things that when they actually start writing up the regs about how it's going to apply, that's when that will come up. But I don't think that that's been really decided yet. And again, if that's a concern when the comment period does come up, you know, I think it would be really helpful to weigh in on that, you know, when you can.
Okay. And I guess kind of follow up on that, do we have an anticipation about when some of these regs might be coming out on some of these issues?
No, I haven't. I think, you know, the thing, one has to really just keep one's ears to the ground. I mean, I haven't seen, you know, Federal Register notices usually, give you like a 60-day comment period, so things come out. I know one of the things they're moving on quickly are the disaster programs, things like the livestock forage program. You know, originally those can take months to approve, but they've because of the drought in the West, I know that USDA has moved up getting those things implemented very, very quickly. So I think those kind of disaster assistance programs have moved to the front of the queue. Then there's different units within USDA tackling things. I don't know if there's anybody from USDA listening who might weigh in saying, oh, yes, we're working on this right now. But you know, that's another thing. You know, if you're interested, you could probably contact, you know, people at, you know, local FSA or NRCS offices to get a sense of what's coming down the pike, you know, in short order.
Right. One more question here came in from the audience. Mm-hmm. We have time for that, it looks like, is question asking, is the 5% that you mentioned per contract, or is it the total under total of EQIP funding?
I think it's a 5% is total EQIP funding.
All right, so that's clarification on that. Again, thank you, George, for your comments. I guess in the interest of time, we'll just move on here, and then hopefully we'll have a chance to ask you a few more questions as we finish.
Okay, sure.